is prayer. If you want to move forward in faith, it's got to be through prayer. And the thing is, though, when I was looking in the Bible trying to find a succinct definition of why prayer is so important, you really don't find it there. There's no long explanation of it. And that's because I think in the Bible there's this unspoken assumption about the importance of prayer. It is so important, it's like something you don't really even have to talk about. Now, you baseball fans, you know that this week there was a little bit of a hubbub, right? Because A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, the best baseball player in the world, did something. He broke an unspoken rule in baseball. You see, because the Yankees, he was on first base. Somebody hit, I think, a single or a foul ball down the left line. And he ran around second base and got about to shortstop and realized that it was a foul ball. And, of course, he wants to go back to first base. And being the smart guy that he is, he takes the most direct route. The only problem is he went right over the pitcher's mound. And he stepped on the rubber. Okay? And that is one of those unwritten rules of baseball that nobody steps on the rubber except for the pitcher. Did you guys know that?
No?
Yes? Okay. No baseball fans over here. All right, you don't do that. And the pitcher, this Braden guy from the Oakland A's, when A-Rod was running across, he let him have an earful about it in some words that we won't repeat here in this place. But afterwards, there was this big conference, big talk about what went so wrong, and the point was, he should have known this. You just don't do that. All the great baseball players know. You don't run across, you don't get in somebody else's office, so to speak. That's the pitcher's office. And the whole point that the Yankees had turned the first triple play in 42 years was lost because of this offense against an unspoken rule. And the importance of prayer in the Christian life, in the life of someone who wants to be near to God, it's kind of like a no-brainer, right? You just do it. It's an unspoken assumption. Prayer is so important, it's so essential, that it runs through the entire Bible, all over the Bible. Things are referring to it as that place where we meet with God. The Psalms of David are simply prayers put to song. We referred to that last week. Look at Jesus rose early in the mornings to pray, we see in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He got up really early, and he went out, and we see all throughout his ministry, he is going to meet with God in prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 6, when he actually talks about prayer. He doesn't say, if you pray, he says, when you pray, go into your room. When you pray, don't use meaningless language. When you pray, it's an assumption that it will be an integral part of your life. And then he goes on to just tell him, okay, this is how you should pray. So it's really not an if, it's a when. The early church devoted themselves to prayer. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, after the great day of Pentecost, and they're converted and so forth, they're devoting themselves to several things. And one of the last things is prayer. We see that in Acts chapter 6, the apostles want to devote themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer, so they assign some deacons to take care of some of these other things. Prayer was such an important component. And we see Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continuously. Prayer is this thing that we constantly do. Its importance is, I think, assumed. It's kind of like in the Bible, there is no argument for the existence of God. It is an assumption. It is there throughout the entire thing. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? Well, I think the reason it's so important is it's kind of like a vacuum cleaner. And I don't know why, maybe I'm kind of weird, but this week as I was thinking about this sermon, I kept getting the image of a vacuum cleaner. Is that strange, Al? You know, I really didn't do any vacuuming this week, I just kept thinking of a vacuum cleaner. And kids, can you imagine, why would I think of a vacuum cleaner when I thought about prayer? Anybody have an idea? I mean, sucking up things, is that what we do in prayer? Not necessarily. Here's what I was thinking of. I was thinking of the fact that you can have the best vacuum cleaner in the whole world. Maybe you pay like $1,500 for it because somebody came to your house and they convinced you that if you didn't have this vacuum cleaner, well, your floor is just going to be dirtier than anybody else's or whatever. And so you bought the best vacuum cleaner. But if you don't plug it in, it doesn't work. Like, you could do this all day long and you'd be like playing, but it doesn't suck anything up. It doesn't do what it's designed to do. And I guess that's why I was thinking of a vacuum cleaner. Because prayer is like that plug. It's plugging into the power source. It's connecting with God in a way that enables us to do what we are made to do. To be who we are made to be. Prayer is engaging at the heart of God, and that's why it's so essential that we do it. It is entering into God's presence. Psalm 42 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" This is the cry of the spiritual person. This is what a person who knows God is called to do. Go and meet with Him. Otherwise, we are going to be ineffective. Otherwise, our spiritual life is going to be much less than what it could be. For us, prayer is like water, it's like food, it's like air, it's that very thing that we need. It is essential to spend time with God. That's what we're made to do. That's why it's so important. That's why it's like this vacuum cleaner. And many of us try to function as Christians, try to walk through this world as followers of God, unplugged to God, without engaging with the heart of the Father. And we may be trying to function without our own strength, on our own wisdom, because we're simply not spending time with the Lord. You know, there's a song that we sing in our house that I want to teach you guys today. It's called "Good Morning, Lord." And it's a song that it's a great kid's song, and it helps us remember that when we get up in the morning, the first thing we need to be doing is plugging into God to some extent. Get ourselves right with the Lord. And I asked my middle school class to come up front and help me teach this song. And I want any of the other kids that would like to come up, I know some of you are kind of shy or whatever, to come up front and help me teach everybody this song, okay? So, little children and the middle schoolers, come on up, please. All right, help me here. All right, good. Anybody else want to come up? All right. All right. Chase, all right. Thanks, man. All right, good. David, good. Kira, all right. Awesome. Okay. Now, the middle school students don't know the song very well either, so we'll all be learning it together. But it goes, "Well, I'm up in the morning and I'm feeling okay." Everybody do this? Like this? "Don't want the devil to get in my way. So I'm down on my knees and I'm starting to pray. Good morning, Lord." Okay? And then we do this. "Good morning, Lord. Send a little sunshine down my way. Good morning, Lord. I just want to be like you today." Okay? Got that? All right, let's stand up. We got to get up and down. Okay. "Well, I'm up in the morning and I'm feeling okay. Don't want the devil to get in my way. So I'm down on my knees and I'm starting to pray. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Send a little sunshine down my way. Good morning, Lord. I just want to live like you today." Okay, stand again. "Well, I'm up in the morning and I'm feeling okay. Don't want the devil to get in my way. So I'm down on my knees and I'm starting to pray. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Send a little sunshine down my way. Good morning, Lord. I just want to live for you today." All right, good. Thank you guys for your help. While they're going down, let's sing that song again. Yeah, that's good. "Well, I'm up in the morning and I'm feeling okay. Don't want the devil to get in my way. So I'm down on my knees and I'm starting to pray. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Send a little sunshine down my way. Good morning, Lord. I just want to live for you today." Okay. Thanks, guys. Why is prayer so important? Why is prayer that thing that just really is something all of us need to integrate fully into our life? Well, Well, I think there's no better place to turn in Scripture than to Matthew chapter 6 to get some insights into why prayer is so important. Matthew chapter 6 is the famous Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Turn your Bibles there. This is a little section in the Sermon on the Mount that has to do with prayer, where Jesus specifically instructs His disciples, we are His disciples, how to pray. And many of us could quote this Scripture, but we want to talk about some elements of it that I think point us toward why prayer is so important and what the ingredients are in it. What are the essential parts of prayer? Sometimes we get bogged down in one component of prayer or another. Sometimes our prayers simply become this laundry list of things we want God to do. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to give those things to Him. But prayer is much bigger than that. And Jesus, of course, knows the Father. He knows how to engage with the heart of God better than anybody. And He's teaching us in this text what to do. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, and we see the essence of prayer in this text. The first thing that we see that prayer is supposed to be is a reorientation of our lives. In prayer, we reorient our lives toward God. Notice the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. It's, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer reorients us to God. Because we live in this earth, in this world, and in this body, and we're bombarded on a regular basis by opposition to God, we sometimes get off track. Is there anybody else in this room that sometimes in their thinking gets off track besides me? You raise your hand. Okay, I don't feel so bad now. Well, okay. But prayer is reorienting us toward God. It's like that compass up there. That if it's working right, you can hold it and you can say, oh, that way is north, and that way is south, and that's west, and that's east. Sometimes we get turned around. Okay, kind of like on the Mexico trip when we were trying to find Walmart in Grapevine. Okay, ask somebody about that. But we got all turned around, and thank goodness somebody had a GPS because it reoriented us to the right direction. And prayer is something like that. When we come before God, we admit, You are holy, O God. That's the first thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. I'm speaking to the Father of heaven who reigns above the heavens, the Father of lights. And He is holy. And the implication is also, I'm not holy. You are holy. I must follow Your will. That's why Jesus then says, you pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fundamental problem with us humans is that we want to do what we want to do. You see that with Adam and Eve, and you see it with everybody since. You see it with Darren Williamson, with Lori Deaver, with Bill Mills, with all of us. We want to do what we want to do, but God is saying, no, do what I want you to do. I made you, and I have a better plan for you. And so prayer takes us to that place where we say, yeah, no, no. His way is the right way. We approach Him as holy. We approach Him as one who seeks His will. And it's interesting and so important and instructive to us to know that the very night that Jesus was betrayed, that is exactly what He did as well. He said, Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to be tortured. I don't want to be hung on that cross, but Your will be done. Your will be done. We reorient ourselves toward God's will. We also see in the Lord's Prayer that in it we confess our reliance upon God. This single phrase of verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. This simple petition covers a lot. It covers our physical existence. That's that loaf of bread up there that we put into our bodies that sustains our physical bodies. But it also includes all the other things in life that concern us and that we must have. God cares about these things and tells us He wants us to lay these things at His feet. Not because He needs information. Take a look at verse 7 of chapter 6 of Matthew, just up a little bit before the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." When you go to God in prayer and you lay your concerns to Him, it's not as if He doesn't already know them. Oh, you expect God to say, "Oh, I didn't know you lost your job yesterday. Thanks for letting me know. Oh, I didn't know that you're behind on your mortgage payment. Good information to have. Oh, I didn't know that you and your wife have had fights every night this past week. Thanks for letting me." God knows that stuff. So why does He want us to pray? He wants us to come to Him and show that we trust that He can take care of those things. He already knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your life better than you know what's going on in your life. But He wants you to come and lay those things at His feet anyway, trusting Him with these things, with even those little things in life that we struggle with. That's the kind of God He is, who loves us and wants relationship with us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants you to lay those burdens that you're having at His feet. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "Cast your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Because He cares for you. We have a God, a Father in heaven, who cares for us. And He wants us to lay our burdens at Him. And by doing so, we confess that we rely upon Him. Lastly, in prayer, we confess our sin to God. The latter part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." When we are in prayer, especially if we are in a place where we understand how holy He is and how unholy we are, our sins, even those that we're maybe not that aware of, are going to percolate to the top. And we're going to be confessing those to Him and asking for His forgiveness. All of us have these burdens, these debts, these sins that are to our account that we need to lay before Him and ask Him for forgiveness of. And He has promised that He will forgive us. He is on your side. Are you struggling with something? Do you kind of resonate with that guy up on the screen there? Feel like you've got this huge burden, this debt on your back? You can ask Him for help with that, and He's more than willing to help and forgive us our sins. But I think also we should remember here that asking God to forgive us our debts, Jesus said, "as we have forgiven our debtors." In prayer, we are brought to a place of relating to God, but also realizing that relationship with Him affects how we relate to other people. Sometimes when you're in prayer, you may be asking for God's grace and understanding towards you, and maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you and make you realize, hey, you've not been understanding with your wife or with your husband or with your coworker or with the person that you are frustrated with. Maybe you need to forgive them as well. This is what's happening in prayer, right prayer before God. In prayer, we confess our sin to God. He lifts those things, but He also points us toward a good relationship with others. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I just want to say, prayer is an essential component of the spiritual life. I may be so bold as to say that if you're not advancing in prayer, it's impossible to advance in all the other areas of your spiritual life. If there's one area that you should focus on, if let's say you only have enough time, enough energy to focus on one thing at a time, focus on prayer. It feeds everything else. Without that deep, rich engaging with the heart of God, all kinds of other things in your life are going to fall away. He's inviting you to prayer. He's inviting you in His presence. Do you want to grow? Do you want to train to be godly? Then grow in prayer. Engage the heart of God. I want to close with a reading from a gentleman that wrote a book on prayer that I think speaks exactly to what God is wanting from each of us. Today, the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and preoccupation. He mourns that we do not draw near to Him. He grieves that we have forgotten Him. He weeps over our obsession with muchness and manyness. He longs for our presence. And He is inviting you and me to come home. To come home to where we belong. To come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. My prayer for you this week and for me this week is for us to come home. To have a week that is bathed in prayer. Have you been struggling with prayer? Lay that before Him. Have you been so busy that you haven't had enough time to pray? Let me suggest you're too busy. You're too busy. It is the essence of what it means to know and love and engage with God. Carve out that time to meet with Him this week. You will see a difference. You will see a change. Because to pray is to change. Next week, we're going to focus on engaging the power of God and talk about some specific things that we can do to grow in prayer. Today, it's just a reminder to pray and engage God in this way. Next week, we'll talk about some specific things we can do to grow. Let's close with a prayer. Our Father, we need You. We want to know You better. We want to engage in Your heart and be close to You as never before. But Lord, we confess that there is a lot of busyness in our lives and manyness and muchness, and we are disoriented and we oftentimes are taken away from You. Sometimes, Lord, we're taken away from You by good things. Help us not to be. Help us, Lord, to engage Your heart regularly and with time and with energy so we can be plugged into the source of power in our lives. I pray for this congregation. That we will be bathed in prayer, that Lord, You in a special way this week, You will call us into Your presence, that Your Holy Spirit will be working to teach us that prayer is more important than TV or entertainment or other things that we do rather than engaging with You. I pray that You will teach us that through Your Holy Spirit this week. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.